The Harlequin cockroach is a little like the busboy at an underground speakeasy. It clears a low bar. This brilliant bug is striking for its mottled pattern and interesting hues. For a creature in a class that inspires revulsion in the humans that behold them. But just because you're kin or drab dressers doesn't mean you can't be the prettiest roach in life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/ldtaxonomy or click on donate on our website.
And today we're talking about a bug that's a real jokester, but more on that later. He's not a real. He's a real joke. No, he's not actually a real jokester. He doesn't know he's making jokes. He doesn't know what jokes are.
He has a cluster of nerves in his head, and all of those nerves say joke.
His instincts are screaming every moment to say a joke. What are we talking about?
We are talking about the Harlequin cockroach. Another roach.
Something fun.
For the books.
And then something not fun. Yeah, we've done a lot of roaches.
They are
fascinating.
There's
probably like frog fans out there that are like, there's so many frogs.
We've done quite a few frogs.
We've done quite a few frogs. We haven't done a lot of turds.
Excuse me? Turtles?
Yeah. Big turds.
Ottoman turds.
This was a suggestion from Rowan via email.
Thanks, Rowan. This is a unique cockroach.
Yes.
For sure.
If you want to, if a cockroach is going to win a beauty contest, it might be this one.
Yeah.
It's a low bar.
Yes. I still just don't know what it is about cockroaches that this bug in particular that makes me not want them not to be around me.
Those like weird hairy little legs.
It's not the leg. It's like it's a combination of the antenna and maybe it's just how big they are. Like most bugs just aren't that girthy.
Look at their legs, though. They've got a thigh. Look at the shape of it. It's like a man's thigh. It's obviously made of chitin.
But it's just, I don't know. It's their association with, like, rot and infestation.
Yes.
Like a beetle. Even a beetle that does, a normal
like
beetle.
A June bug?
Yeah. It's like, okay, it's a beetle. I'll even have one on my finger. No problem. But these guys are fast. They are, and you know that there's a million of them. if you see one, there's thousands of them swarming underneath. So it's just weird that cockroaches kind of occupy their own space of like, this is a bad bug.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, they don't bite. But they, there's an instinctive repulsivity to them.
I think there are bigger ones that some of them can bite you, but they just don't, they don't really do it.
No, and I also just looked this up today. I was like, they have wings, but I've never seen a cockroach fly before.
A palmetto bug?
I don't think I've seen them fly.
I've seen them fly in my house. That is a moment you never forget. It's like, oh, there's a giant cockroach on the wall, and you like get close to it to like smash it, and it takes flight, and you're standing right next to your ghost. It's crazy.
There is now a U-shaped hole in the ceiling. Yeah. And you're in your boxer briefs and your skin is laying on the floor.
And I leave a dust cloud behind.
Mm-hmm.
In my own shape.
Yeah, you're like, what is there a hummingbird in my house? Oh no, it's a palmetto bug.
Yeah. To hear the wing beats of an insect in that way.
Oh man. And well, and I was just doing some work on a house that was a hoarder house, and one of the big things we had to deal with was cockroaches, thousands of them. And you go into the bathroom and you hear them in the walls, you hear them in the medicine cabinet, you hear them falling, plopping down in the shower and stuff. And then when we killed them, you know, when you bomb the place, they all come out from wherever they were hiding. And I visited the place soon after it had been sprayed, and you were stepping on this is a carpet of chitinous corpses. There you go. There's your alliteration. And a lot of them were still alive and moving around, and I was like, this is the worst. This is like a medieval torture dungeon that I've just stumbled into. Mm-hmm. Anyway, roaches. Those were American and German roaches that I had to deal with. This is not those. We got some nicknames for it. We're going to call it here the chemical carpet bomber. Yeah. And the prettiest pest you ever did solve. Mm.
Good. I like that. What does science say?
Let's taxonomize this. It's in the kingdom you know, live, and are in. That is Animalia. The phylum is Arthropoda. The class is Insecta. The order is Blattodea. The family is Blattidae. The genus is Neostylopyga. I want to say Pyga. Not Pyga. It's a Y.
Mm-hmm.
There are two Ys, so it's either Neostylopyga or Neostylopyga. I think you need to be whatever it is.
Consistent.
And then the species is Rhombifolia.
Huh.
So
it's a fun one. Fun binomial name.
I like Rhombifolia. Neostylopyga just does not.
It sounds like Expialidocious, like Neostylopyga Rhombifolia.
Like Gandhi, you know, he was a super calloused, fragile mystic hexed with halitosis.
Oh my gosh, was he hexed with halitosis? Is that canon?
I mean, I don't know. If you have a weird diet and you don't eat for a while, I'm sure you don't have that great of breath.
I think you do have bad breath when you start to starve.
Yeah. So, although I wouldn't call him a mystic. Anywho,
so everything about that was wrong. But still fun.
He was super calloused and he was a fragile man. And he was hexed with halitosis.
He took down the British Empire. How fragile was he?
He didn't take down the British Empire. He ousted the British from India.
Yeah.
He gave them what for.
That's it.
Well, we'll say.
Take your pith helmets and get out of here.
Yeah, I'm going to take my pith helmet and go home. All right, it's time for my favorite part of the show. It's nitty gritty in nomenclature, the part of the show where I ask you Joe a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Neostylopyga, Neostylopyga, Rhombifolia? What does it mean? Does it mean A, new style of small rhombuses? B, new butt steak diamond leaf? C, new spinning wing love? Or D, new small hair wheel?
I'm going to go with spinning wing love, final answer.
New Spinning Wing Love. That is, that sounds like someone's hippie name.
Yeah.
It's like, my name used to be Ashley, but now it's New Spinning Wing Love.
It's a cult member name, yeah.
Yes, it's a Branch Davidian. All right, the answer, that is incorrect. The answer is B, New Buttsteak Diamond Leaf.
Okay.
Neo obviously means new, so I didn't give you any outs there. Stylo means a stake or a pillar. And Paiga is the rump, is the tuchus. And then rhombus is, you know, a diamond, rhombus and diamond. And then folia is a leaf, leaves.
So it's butt leaf diamond, not butt steak.
Stylo means is a steak.
Steak, but you mixed them up.
New steak butt. Or new butt steak. Said? I said new butt steak, but
that's mixed up. I was like, there's no way Stylovgia is butt.
But would you know that Paiga is butt?
No.
Not at all. With some of these, with like when you're translating, you have to switch it around, like because within a word, like the description of it comes before or after the noun or...
Yeah,
or,
but you're assuming the binomial name is... the two names are related to one another in any way. A lot of times they are.
No, though, I'm just taking the one word. Neo stylo paiga. Neo, new, stylo, steak, paiga, butt. New steak butt.
Oh, gotcha. I would think rhombi is butt.
But it is a butt steak because... And we'll go over that in a little bit. So, okay. Let's talk about what this guy looks like. It is a... The shape of it is very roach-like. It's a flattened oval, like a hissing cockroach. Mm-hmm. I guess. Roaches take all kinds of shapes. So, I guess if you're imagining a German cockroach with, like, the big wings, that's not it. It's much more like the segmented carapace of a hissing cockroach. Oval-shaped... it has a bold black base with this dramatic yellow diamond, and these marbled patterns on its body, which, you know, it's got a diamond leaf, but it's right on the money on that one. So this is where it gets its Harlequin, its name. I would call it like the mottled cockroach before I called it the Harlequin cockroach, but whatever. It's the exoskeleton is smooth and glossy. Females are larger than males. But they are pretty, they're relatively stout for roaches, and unlike a lot of other roach species, these guys have reduced forewings, so they have kind of these vestigial wings, like Heimlich in Bug's Life, they're just like these little useless lobes that stick out. They cannot fly, but the big, so just picture a hissing cockroach with its segmented glossy exterior, but then just a dazzle of yellow shapes and spots.
I would have called it a Rorschach.
A Pollock? A Jackson Pollock?
Yeah.
You probably don't want to call it a Pollock.
But Rorschach Roach? That'd be sick.
Rorschach Roach would be pretty good. And it would fight crime at night with the mask on.
It's not stuck in there with you. You're stuck in there with it.
Yeah. This is actually a relatively big roach. But how big is it?
Great question. Welcome to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show. The part of the show when we present the animals Size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week, but that means you get to hear from an animal. Call us to guess what it is. Without further ado, the listeners, part of the show. Do you know what that chittering and skittering is?
Yes, it's the cutest cockroach ever put to film. The unnamed survivor of, by and large's hyper-capitalist destruction of the world in WALL-E. Does it have a name?
Apparently, it does have a name.
They don't name it in the movie.
Unless Hal, there's an extended. H-A-L.
What? I can't do that, Dave.
Yeah, maybe it was a reference to that.
They already had a reference to that in the antagonist of the movie. The autopilot was a reference to Hal.
True. No, yeah, his name's Hal.
That's fan fiction because they don't mention that in the movie at all.
It's like
nobody who interacts with that cockroach has the ability to name things. It's WALL-E and Eve.
He named himself. His parents named him, obviously. It,
by and large, named him.
Cool. Okay. Well, let's talk about their length. They're 20 to 30 millimeters long, or about 0.8 to 1.2 inches. The Caris, or a Kris knife, is a iconic wavy bladed dagger central to Malay culture, symbolizing status, heritage, spirituality, and martial tradition in Southeast Asia. A Kris knife. You know what a Kris knife is?
I am imagining one now.
Kris knives are in Dune. A knife made from the...
Oh, yeah?
The giant... sandworm tooth,
but it's got the it's like the flamberge wavy blade.
No, I mean it's literally called a Kris knife in Dune.
Oh, but it doesn't look the same.
No,
what you're describing does not look like the one in Dune.
This looks more like the bad guy in Mulan, his sword.
Yeah, like a flamberge.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks like a flame.
Right, so, true or false, 6 Harlequin cockroaches go into the Malaysian Caris knife.
The entire thing or just the blade?
The entire thing.
Like I would know. I don't know. Let's see, a knife.
Including hilt, handle.
Foot and a half for a knife is pretty good. No, I'm going to say no. I'm saying no, 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 no. That's 1.2 inches times 6 is just over 7 inches.
Mm-hmm.
That's too short. That's like if you put your hand on the hilt, you would have like a 1-inch blade. I guess if it's more like a pocket knife, maybe, but no. If it's got a hilt, it's a dagger, not a, like a. I'm saying no. I think it's longer. The knife is longer than that.
Final answer?
Yes.
Correct answer is false.
Yes.
It's roughly 12 to 18 inches.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense for a knife.
Yeah, well, there's mini versions that are about 2 inches long.
The whole thing? Like,
yeah, but that must be just like for ornaments.
For like a baby.
Yeah. What is this, a Kris knife for ants?
You gotta arm the babies. in Malaysia.
Let's talk about their weight. About 0.2 to 0.5 grams. Or 200 to 500 milligrams. I love when I look it up and they give me
the grams and the milligrams. Twice. Thank you. Yeah. The whole point of metric is so that I could do this in my head.
Well, Malaysia is a significant producer of nutmeg, along with Indonesia and other tropical regions, where the spice is cultivated in places like Penang and other parts of the peninsula. True or false, a single nutmeg seed is the same weight as a harlequin cockroach.
True. Sure. I'm going to say true. Because I have no frame of reference for either of those things. For either a nutmeg seed or 500 milligrams.
Final answer?
Yes.
Correct answer is true.
Yes.
It looks like a walnut size. And did you know that if you eat a bunch of nutmeg, it's psychedelic in nature? And potentially toxic?
I have that in my house.
Yeah. If you eat all of it, you might experience psychedelic experiences and then die.
I'll probably experience something akin to psychedelic stuff if I ate the entirety of any of the spices in my cabinet.
No, you probably just have a stomach ache most of the time.
I tried the cinnamon challenge, just eating one whole spoonful of that. That was unpleasant.
That's dangerous for more because of physics than because of toxins. But is it all kind of at some level physics? Anyway,
it's
because of, like,
no, it's chemistry. Chemistry is not true. Physics.
True. If it's anything, it's not physics. It can't be physics. It's the one thing it can't be. An 8-year-old boy consumed approximately 14 grams of nutmeg and became comatose. Died 24 hours later.
Yeesh.
Why would an 8-year-old boy want to eat that much? Wouldn't it taste nasty to him?
The things that kids eat. Let me do a quick aside here. There are, not everyone is a good parent. There are a lot of parents out there that are neglectful,
inattentive of their
children. We'll say. Right? They don't care what their kids are getting into. How is the mortality rate for those kids not in the 90th percentile? Because the number of times that my wife and I have saved our children's lives because they just pick something up and put it in their mouth is like, it's not a daily occurrence anymore, but when they were like between the ages of 1 and 3, it's just, that's all they did was try to kill themselves. And it's so we're just constantly, and it's like, how did you even get that? And so, they'll snub a chicken nugget and then eat a beetle. or eat as much Play-Doh as they can, or shove, or a crayon, or
a beetle looks like a chocolate chip or a raisin or something sweet and nice.
Yeah, but like, just absolutely instantly you realize that it's not. You don't, there's, you should, you know, it's like, okay, this isn't a chocolate chip. I'm going to spit it out. Nope. Just chew and swallow.
Well, you got to give it some time. Maybe it's an acquired taste.
Maybe it's extended release chocolate.
Yeah. It's bitter. First it's bitter and
that it's sweet.
Tickles my tongue. Crawls so, around yeah, in there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't mean to make light of a obviously super tragic thing. But and I was like, there's so many times where I think if I was not in the room right now, they'd be dead. I don't know how people who don't watch after their kids manage to keep them alive. But yeah, it's just one of those conundrums. But anyway, nutmeg. On that yeah, cheery note, let's talk about cockroaches.
Yeah, let's talk about cockroaches. It's the answer is true. I don't know if I said, but yeah, one nutmeg is about the same weight as a Harlequin cockroach.
Gross.
Not very relatable, actually, because I don't know about you, but I've had nutmeg many times, but I've never held a nutmeg seed.
Same.
Yeah.
I've held cinnamon sticks.
Yeah.
But never a nutmeg seed.
Why is a nutmeg nuts? Maybe because it is toxic. But why is it so foreign to me to hold a full one? No recipe has ever said.
A full nutmeg.
Whole nutmeg. Go to the store. It's better fresh grounds. Go get a full nutmeg.
Go get a full nutmeg and a mallet. Yeah. And then just put that in your stew. You put the tiniest amount of nutmeg and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, these pancakes are just a little bit, just a little bit there.
Yeah. And when you put it with the eggnog, it's really just so you can smell it at the top. That's all.
Just I've had eggnog once in my life. I do not like that. You don't anyway.
Like liquid egg?
No, I like cooked eggs. Thank you.
Apparently you can make pancakes with eggnog because of the egg content.
Alcoholic pancakes?
I think you have to add pancake mix, though.
You can't just pour eggnog onto a griddle.
Wait, no, not all eggnog has alcohol in it.
No, but that all eggnog that matters. That's my no true Scotsman argument for eggnog.
Yeah. The only true eggnog has amaretto in it.
All right, here's some fast facts before we get to the major fact. As we've indicated, the Harlequin cockroach is originally from the tropical parts of Asia, you know, like Indonesia, Malaysia, Southeast Asian area. It's now introduced all over the world in tropical areas, just like the rest of the cockroaches.
Have you met my friend Cockroach?
He's everywhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that's an introduction you don't ever come back from. So now it's in North America, Oceania. It's even in Hawaii, Mexico, Australia. It just stows away like rats and ants. They just make their way to different parts of the world through luggage and shipping and all that kind of stuff. They like warm, humid climates. They like to live under logs and stones. They like to live in houses, woodlands. They are omnivorous. Another reason why cockroaches are so successful as animals is because they are generalists. They will eat pretty much anything. And we went over that with the last cockroach we did. I think the death's head cockroach, I think, was the last one we did. But yeah, it will eat anything that could even be remotely considered edible. Even including just pieces of cardboard and paper, but obviously any food, human or otherwise, fits the bill. They are very fast. They're very active. They can climb smooth surfaces. As I mentioned, they can't fly like other cockroaches can. Apparently, other cockroaches can't fly very well, so they only do it when they're really threatened. But the reason why their nomenclature includes the term new butt steak is because they have females have something called an oothecae. Too many vowels in this word. Oothecae. Holy moly, that's an 8-letter word with two consonant sounds. That's
what's the percentage there?
25%. I don't know. Uthake is what I'll call it. These are egg cases. It's a slender like pod of eggs. It's packed with 15 to 30 of these of eggs. They will drop them once or twice a week and after fertilization, and they will take about 2 to 3 months to hatch. So they're usually, you can see them, they'll like hold them behind them. So they're just kind of dragging this, you know, pixie stick of eggs behind them. So it looks like they have a stake in their derriere.
They're dragging a boba straw.
A boba straw. Yeah. So they take 2 months, 2 or 3 months to hatch into nymphs, and the nymphs will mature in 4 to 6 months. And then they will live as adults for 4 to 6 months, mate, and then die. Like most bugs, their entire existence is to eat and survive long enough to mate and then die. colonies can spring up under the right conditions, but they don't infest things as much as like German or American cockroaches. And obviously, not only do they eat everything, but everything eats them. Birds, lizards, spiders, small mammals. Anything that can manage to overcome any defenses it might have. And they are popular pets, oddly enough. Nymphs start as reddish brown, so kind of standard cockroach look, and then they morph into their harlequin pattern as it molts. And so some people like to keep them because they look interesting. I would say just bedazzle a hermit crab shell and call it a day if that's what you're looking for. But you know, I don't want to yoke anybody's yak.
Okay.
Do you have any major facts?
Sure. Everything eats them if they can get past one thing, which is a chemical defense. They produce a chemical called amyl acetate. And when they feel threatened, if you were to grab one, it will release this secretion. The compound is produced in specialized exocrine glands, which an exocrine gland is a gland that produces some sort of excretion. So any your tear ducts, your...
The opposite of an endocrine gland.
Which is a straw. Sucks up liquids. I don't know.
No, you have like your endocrine system is stuff that secretes stuff probably on the inside of your body.
Oh.
And then your exocrine would secrete stuff on the outside. So it's like your tear ducts.
And your sweat glands.
Yeah.
So the release creates a sudden intense burst of odor that acts as a primary, as mostly as a chemical repellent or deterrent. It makes the roach unappealing or distasteful to would-be predators, including vertebrates like lizards, frogs, birds, and small mammals. And the pet insect community and like other pet community, keepers note that harlequins are bad for live food because your reptiles or amphibians will reject them. They'll be nasty. We don't like that. Amyl acetate might sound familiar if you are a crunchy person or a food, like someone who pays attention to the backs of food, because it is the same organic compound that is responsible for the artificial banana or pear drops or cherry or almond extract fragrance.
Those are so wildly different things.
Well, I think they're probably adding other stuff to these. This amyl acetate is often called the banana oil. It's another name for it. It's put in candy flavorings and then like scented stuff like nail polish remover, which is a weird. There's so many scented nail polish remover is the one thing I would think doesn't usually have.
That's a very strong and distinct smell.
Yeah,
and it does not smell like bananas.
No, when released by the Roach people, describe the odor as strong, fruity, like an overripe banana or like a pear candy. Sometimes they'll describe it as sweet and almond-like, and sometimes like maraschino cherries or artificial fruit scents.
So that's why they keep Harlequin cockroaches as pets. It's an air freshener,
I guess.
You're just like, oh man, like the laundry's starting to like get really ripe, and then you just pick up one of your roaches and then just kind of squeeze it around the room a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But it's like it's a surprisingly pleasant smell to human beings. It doesn't smell rotten or anything, which is why, like, if you disturb one, it will catch you off guard. It's like, why does it smell like maraschino cherries all of a sudden? But it's interesting that it specifically smells like fake flavors and smells we associate with fake, highly processed fruit. So, like, fruit candy. Banana, like the banana, like, what are those hard candies that are in the shapes of fruit? Runts, a banana runt, or banana Laffy Taffy, or maraschino cherries. These are like things that we would find pleasant, but animals apparently think are disgusting, and it's highly processed food. And what does that say about us? Who knows?
Animals will eat things animals will eat lots of things, but they won't touch a maraschino cherry. That's for sure.
Yeah, I bet you they would. This defense is especially useful in their habitats where they encounter diverse predators of volatile acetate. Allows them to scent disperse quickly, giving them time to escape when the predator's like, why would I eat this cockroach when there's maraschino cherries around? Let me just
it's a red herring. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm going to eat this binturong, but not if there's popcorn nearby.
Yeah. I'm going to eat this dog, but not if there's corn chips nearby.
Dogs smell like corn chips?
Their paws smell like corn chips, yeah.
Mine don't.
Have you smelled them?
Yeah, recently, because I thought they stepped in poop, so I like was sniffing their paws. That's the
one situation where I would refuse to smell a dog's paw.
Well, I couldn't see it, but I was like, I don't know if there's like residue on it, and I don't want it walking through my house. So I'm gonna do a smell check, and they did not smell like poop or, what'd you say, potato chips?
Corn chips.
Like Fritos. Like Fritos and Bugles and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did not get that, but...
maybe it did step in something. Well, scientists consistently confirm amyl acetate. I don't really know how to say it. A-M-Y-L.
Amyl, yeah.
Amyl acetate. As a key component in this... in this scent, in this oil that they secrete. But they haven't a detailed gland anatomy or exact biosynthesis pathway have not been as studied in this as they have in other insects. But no major additional compounds are commonly reported. But maybe there is something else in there that certain animals can pick up that we can't. So we're just like, oh, bananas, cherries. And your dog is like, what are you talking about? This is foul.
This is the most disgusting thing I've ever smelled with my nose.
Yeah. But yeah, so.
And you're thinking like, I was going to eat this cockroach, and now it just like garnished itself.
Yeah. added some flavoring. Literally added some flavoring.
Yeah, hang Something on.
Let, we let, add as flavoring.
Let me spritz some spice on this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like one of those things that's like, you always hear about, this food additive, it gets its flavor, like vanilla gets a, like, its flavor from something funny.
Like beaver anal secretions, yes, or something. Yeah, like, yeah, that. Yeah.
But it's like, does it come from, like, sometimes it doesn't just, it's not coming from there. Yeah. It's just there's an organic compound in it. That's in both for some reason.
That happens to be in both, yes. I think that's more like... I don't think they're harvesting Harlequin cockroaches to spritz over every runt that they put in the... There's just a factory where they're just... they're just like hooked up to machines and squeezed as the runts go under... go underneath on an assembly line.
It just goes to... It's like certain drugs. Like, why are there cannabinoid receptors in our brains? Why is there a parking spot for chemicals in marijuana found in a plant in the mountains? Why is there a parking spot in our brain for those chemicals? Who knows? Chemicals.
Because we produce it naturally, right?
Cannabinoids, maybe, I guess.
To some
opioids, degree. We do morphine,
yeah,
and dopamine.
If there's a parking spot for it, then there's a car for that parking spot,
right?
Unless they're we just have vestigial receptors, but
yeah. Well, anyway, that's all I got.
All right, we did another roach. Thank you for the suggestion,
Rowan.
We love suggestions. The world is full of fascinating animals, and
we love when they suggest things. Got them.
You know what the most fascinating animal of all is? Man. See, I can be insightful too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was the Harley Quinn cockroach. I was actually I spent a lot of time trying to figure out a nickname that included that merged Harley Quinn with the concept of a cockroach. And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't find anything that she does or anything she says that like just naturally flowed into what we're talking about here. So I was like, bummer. It would be cool to say like that, to have something, well, one of her catchphrases or something, like, "Hey, Mr. J," or something like that, be like cockroach oriented. I don't know.
I wish she was more cockroach oriented in her speech and speech patterns, I guess.
That's what James Gunn needed to do. Yeah. That was his big failure. Okay, so for you out there in Podcastia, bedazzle your carapace. Drop your Uthake wherever it is most convenient for you and defend yourself with whatever sweet-smelling chemicals you happen to have on hand, like the Harlequin cockroach here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
Just walking around like a banana boba.